Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Former Chicago police officer and now international best-selling author James Bolin uses his experience in law enforcement to offer valuable solutions to fix the broken criminal justice system and start making it fair. And Mr. Bolin, a pleasure and honor to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Okay, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about here today. So for starters, what are you seeking to accomplish with this new book that you have out in the market?
Well, what my overall goal is to have the content of this book become the source of a national dialogue, a dialogue that will motivate we the people to take the necessary steps to enact the changes that need be made to make this criminal justice system a heck of a lot more efficient and fair. Talking about is one thing. We need to, as I say in chapter 6, get off the sofa, put your hard hat on, and go to work.
I like that, and that certainly is motivating. I'm sure someone out there found that to be quite motivating as well. Now, your book advocates that people convicted of sexually assaulting children should be in prison for life, and I would agree with you on that. Why is that not cruel and unusual for some that are on that side of the spectrum?
I don't believe it's two things. I think the punishment should fit the crime, and the victims, the victims are impacted upon this crime lifelong. This is something that they never get over. This they live with this forever. And secondly, when we let these people out, we put other people at risk. I mean, other children, forget that. Other children are put at risk. I submit that's an unacceptable risk. And the only way to ensure that they never, ever ruin another child's life or is to make sure they never again breathe free air.
And again, I totally agree with you 110% on that and your stance there. Now, overturning Supreme Court decision, Matt versus Ohio, and vitiating the exclusionary rule, why would that not encourage rampant police misconduct? Get into some of those details.
Okay. I'll begin with by saying I understand why the exclusionary rule exists, because there are rules, and the police, the prosecutors, the officers of the court should obey the rules. Civil liberties are sacred, and they should remain so. However, what has happened with this is that more times than not, the exclusionary rule has provided a get-out-of-jail-free card for the bad guy, and they're never held accountable for their actions. What I propose in my book is that instead of giving them the get-out-of-jail-free card, deal with the police officer for his or her misconduct. If that means suspension, termination, retraining, or some combination thereof, let's go with that, as opposed to providing the get-out-of-jail-free card for this person, and they never, ever are held accountable for their actions. And what ends up happening, what about the victim? I cite a case in the book where in the Chicago area, a guy, James Ely, this man murdered people. He killed his girlfriend, his girlfriend's mother, and his girlfriend's younger brother. He got convicted, and an appellate court overturned the conviction because the court believes that the police made a mistake during the whole arresting process. They overturned the conviction and released this person. That's just unacceptable.
Certainly some jaw-dropping information and details and some of the things that we never even imagined goes on within the criminal justice system. And you're certainly sharing some of those details with us today. Really appreciate what you're doing through this book today. We're joined by former Chicago police officer and now international best-selling author, Mr. James Bowen, using his experience in law enforcement to offer valuable solutions to fix the broken criminal justice system and start making it fair here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, can you defend your assertion that 3 months of Marine Corps basic training better prepared you for policing than 6 months in the police academy? Get into that.
Most assuredly it did. In just about every policing agency throughout the nation, one of the things to get accepted into a police academy, there's a psychological test that you take. It's a multiple choice test. It's about 300 questions or so. Essentially, it's a battery of about 60 to 70 questions that ask you two or three different ways. And from this test, they're supposed to gain an insight into your character. Marine Corps boot camp, their strategy, what's done there is that over the 3 months, the Marine Corps puts you in consistently stressful situations. Because it's their belief that under stress, your true character will surface. I believe that's a much more, that's a heck of a lot better way to determine whether or not a person should have the responsibility of being a police officer. Another thing as far as Marine Corps boot camp is concerned, what it did for me and what they pound into us is that under stress and pressure situations, we have to divorce ourselves from the emotion and let your rational mind dictate your actions. Because as Senior Drill Instructor Gunnery Sergeant Stein told us, that if you get emotional, you develop tunnel vision. If you develop tunnel vision, you become a dead Marine. You need a panoramic view. So the emotions cannot dictate your actions. And that's pounded into us throughout that training. And because of that training, once I became a Chicago police officer, I never shot a person during my entire career. There's 25 police districts in the city of Chicago. I worked in arguably the busiest of those 25 districts. I worked in 7 police districts. I worked in Englewood. And there's virtually nothing for which you can name that I did not arrest a person. But I never once shot a person because the emotions never, ever dictated my actions. When we started in the Chicago Police Academy, there were 300 people in my recruit class. 298 graduated. When you get to Marine Corps boot camp and you're standing on those yellow footprints at 1 o'clock in the morning, one of the first things you'll hear is a drill instructor will tell you, look to your left, look to your right. One of you will not be here at the end of these 12 weeks. And we will do everything fair and unfair to determine whether or not you packed the gear to serve in my beloved Corps. Translation. We're going to find out whether or not your shoulders are broad enough to bear the burden of being a United States Marine. 80 people started my platoon in Marine Corps boot camp. 65 graduated. It's because later in my policing career, see something else that I see that's absent in a lot of police training, and I'll often hear people talk about the power that the police officer has. I became a field training officer. And so that means when the recruit first leaves the academy, they spend an amount of time with a field training officer. And for each of my recruits, I let them know that once they pin that star on, badge, shield, or however you want to refer to it, that does not represent any power. The power is in the law. What this is an awesome responsibility. So during your time in this training with me, I'm going to find out whether or not your shoulders are broad enough to bear the burden of this responsibility. And as far as I'm concerned, that should be a major focal point in any law enforcement training.
Wow, that bit of detail right there is a wake-up call to what really the kind of people that you need on the front lines in protecting our cities and our states and our country. And I can't thank you enough for your service, Mr. Boland, for sure on that. Thank you so much. Now, if you would, give us an example of why you believe this nation's war on drugs is so insincere.
We're in a war on drugs. I think we're also supposed to be in a war on terror. One of the things that really disturbed me is when I learned that there are right now, and it started in the Bush administration, continued through the Obama administration, and it's still going on right now today. There are United States Marines safeguarding, protecting, giving cover to the poppy fields in Afghanistan. Now, these same poppy fields provide much of the world's heroin today. They also provide $1 billion, that's what it'd be, $1 billion a year in revenue for ISIS, Al-Qaeda, et cetera, the other terror groups. So there are United States Marines protecting a product that provides revenue for the bad guys to buy weaponry to use against them. I consider that to be offensively stupid. If, in fact, we're in a war on drugs and the war on terror, those poppy fields in Afghanistan should have been ash not long after we got to Afghanistan in 2001. It's inexcusable. I don't get it. That's just one example that I cited in the book. I've been, during my career, and we arrest people for selling the drugs and possessing drugs and et cetera. But they think the drug trade is an economic thing, you know, supply and demand. And since 1870, we've been fighting this war on drugs. How are we doing? As far as supply and demand, we've been going after supply. What have we actually done as far as addressing the demand? Because many of the people, especially the ones that I arrested, they once they got out of jail for this, they could not, if they wanted to rehab, they couldn't afford the Betty Ford Center. They can't afford the passages at Malibu. So are we really, so if there's a sincere effort to win this war on drugs, then we should be addressing the demand aspect and say no to drugs. That's really sort of inadequate. That's a joke almost. These people need, the people that start this need the type of help that one can get at a place like the Betty Ford Center, but that's just not available to the vast majority of people with this problem.
Now, as you pointed out, this criminal justice system is certainly broken, and that is one incredible and huge example right there, and that's just really all messed up. And we're certainly on the same page, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share just a little pinch of what's in that book, and I'm sure listeners are definitely wanting to get more information on the book. Where can they actually pick up the book, and where are all those details online?
Okay, well, we can find the book, of course, on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble, Google Play, and Apple iTunes. And I will say this because I've heard this from several people, from lots of sources. They tell me, you know, Dr. Boland, you put a whole lot of information in 130 pages. It is a quick read, but the book is straight to the point and without a whole lot of fluff, without any fluff whatsoever.
And I'm sure it's about as authentic as it gets. And again, we can't thank you enough for joining us here today on the program. Mr. Boland, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
And thank you for having me.
And you're certainly welcome anytime. We've been speaking with former Chicago police officer and now international best-selling author James Boland, using his experience in law enforcement to offer valuable solutions to fix the broken criminal justice system and start making it fair. And for more information on his book, Fixing This Broken Thing, The American Criminal Justice System, You can find this book on all of your major online and retail book providers. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.